RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next great camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace. Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
And by Go Power. For 22 years, Go Power has been a trusted leader in the mobile solar and power inverter market. Their solar and inverter systems and kits offer full-time or secondary power sources wherever grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. To size a power system for yourself, visit gpelectric.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, plus Sweet Maggie, the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are introducing our audience to the Family Motor Coach Association, an organization that has been providing RVers with resources and community since 1963.
The Family Motor Coach Association recently voted to let towable owners into the club, so we thought we better find out more about the FMCA and how all of our listeners can benefit from membership.
You might think your travel trailer, fifth wheel, or truck camper doesn't fit into the FMCA, but we know they are ready to welcome you with open arms. You are listening to episode number 180. Say hello to the Family Motor Coach Association.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, say hello to the Family Motor Coach Association, it's time to induct another item into the RVFTA Gear Hall of Fame. And I just love this whole RVFTA Gear Hall of Fame thing.
I do too. I'm excited about this product.
And we've been like taking turns. It's like Stephanie's week, then it's my week. And Stephanie's like, what are you picking? And I'm like, what are you picking? But she doesn't tell me.
Never.
I have to tell her though.
Because I do the show notes.
I walk out into my garage and I start poking around through our camping gear. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've owned that for a long time.
I didn't have to poke around in the garage to pick my product.
You never go in the garage.
Nope, I stay far away from that nonsense. All right. This week was my turn. And, okay, we've been sticking to pretty, like, traditional camping RV gear. But this week I decided to go a little more lifestyle-y because I love these things so much. I love my True Blue Steel stainless steel wine glasses. They're stemless. I got them a couple years ago. And, you know, it took me a long time to buy them because I had bought into this concept, right, that you have to use plastic in the RV.
Because of breaking issues.
Right. You don't want to use glass in the RV,
right? Which you don't.
Right. Because what happens? You bring it out to the campsite's gravel, your kids break glass on the gravel or whatever, and everybody's walking around in bare feet, and all of a sudden you're like, how do I clean up this glass? It's not good. Also, inside a camper, when you're actually moving, when you're towing, when you're driving, if you have things that are glass, things break, right? You are silly and you forget to be careful when you're opening that cabinet after you've unhitched and something flies out at you. No matter how experienced we are, I still have moments where I forget and I open the refrigerator after we've moved
and everything. And of course,
the
it's
salsa,
like
you
yogurt,
know, whatever.
One of Wesley's opened yogurts.
It's terrible. I still do that. There's no way I'm ever going to stop doing that. So I have to be careful not to have things that are breakable in the camper.
But initially, you did fall into that trap of using plastic, but you don't like drinking out of plastic.
I
don't either. It makes water taste plasticky.
I just don't like it. I got those. I remember years ago for our in our White Hawk, I had those like heavy duty plastic I had bought them years ago. We had the White Hawk and, you know, it just felt like, okay, I've got two of these wine glasses and they kind of look like real wine glasses, but they're fake and they're big and they're plastic and they have these thick rims. And, you know, I used it for a couple of years until I finally said, enough of this. I don't like this product at all. I shouldn't have it in my camper, right? It took me a long time to realize that I shouldn't have things in my camper that don't spark joy.
And that was a major transition for you as an RV owner. Initially, just because of budget, really, everything that ended up in the pop-up camper and even the White Hawk initially was like the leftover stuff from the house or just like extra stuff from the house. But over the past 7 or 8 years, like everything in the toy hauler now, they are nice things that we like and that make us happy. And in some cases, they're better than the versions we have at home.
Yeah, sometimes I end up buying a new something or another, say a Nutri-Ninja, right, blender. And I end up putting it in the RV. And I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Because everything's new in the toy hauler. I do the same thing. I got a new Bonavita coffee maker and the new one's in the RV and the old one's at home.
Yeah. I don't know if we have to get our heads screwed on straight with that. But anyway, so I bought these stainless steel wine glasses and I love them so much. I've been using them for years now. They look as good as new. They can take a beating, right? These could get knocked off the table. They could get dropped out of a cabinet. They look great. They wash really nicely. Also, my kids use them all the time. Like, they always go into the cabinet and grab one of those because it really just looks like a cup.
Well, and water tastes good in stainless steel.
I love drinking out of the stainless steel cups. They're one of my favorite products. And like I said, you know, the plastic wine glasses, they didn't make me happy. These actually make me happy.
You said that they didn't spark joy,
No. Which
is a phrase that's been flying around this house because Stephanie got rid of all of her clothing in her closet that doesn't spark joy. And she wants me to get rid of all the clothing in my closet that doesn't spark joy. But the problem is none of my clothing sparks joy. So you figure out where that one will end up.
You need to deal with that issue first.
No, but I really respect this like strand of minimalism that you have in your life. And I see that it does make you happy.
So anyway, I also wanted to just say, because I'll probably never cover this anywhere else, that later on I ended up getting something called a jar box, which when we got the toy hauler, I got it actually. So I wanted to be able to transport my stainless steel cups. And then also what I use as glasses, it is glass actually. I use mason jars, the wide mouth mason jars or jelly jars, sometimes people call them. I think that they're virtually unbreakable.
We haven't broken one yet, so no. We'll let you know if we do.
So I use those in the camper for glasses and then the stainless steel. Well, I bought these jar boxes, and it's a plastic tote basically for people that use mason jars for canning. So there's 12 spots that you could put like 12 canning jars in if you were, say, making jelly and putting them in the pantry or something. But obviously, I'm using it for something different. So I actually use that to put all of my cups in our little pantry. And so I have, you know, four of the stainless steel cups, and then I have the rest of the holes filled up with these wide mouth mason jars.
And I have my own set of four clean canteen stainless steel ones, which maybe at some point I'll induct them into the Hall of Fame, but they're not that old yet.
Yeah. So all of the, that's basically our cup setup. And I like them enough that I figured, I think that they're, you know, worthy of the Hall of Fame. I think that
Absolutely. Anybody
that enjoys a nice glass of wine at the campground will enjoy it in these stainless steel cups.
I have no issue with inducting in gear that's lifestyle type gear because, look, we inducted the Estwing Fireside Friend, and that's going to be sitting right next to the chair while you're drinking out of your wine glass. They're just all things that we use that enrich the RV experience. Now, Stephanie, do you think that our new Go Power solar panels are going to spark joy in your life?
I really do think they're going to spark joy in my life because we have this beautiful, nice RV that has all the bells and whistles. But you know what? I want to be able to also still go to Assateague Island and be totally disconnected and enjoy the RV anyway, right? Like still have some of the luxuries of an RV without necessarily having a pedestal to plug it in.
And pretty much most of the luxuries except our AC we're going to have. And
yes.
You just sparked joy in me mentioning taking the toy hauler to Assateague Island. Can we please do that soon?
Well, you got to make those reservations.
Let's make
I don't
the
know
resis.
Why you keep asking me. Make the reservations. All right. Go Power has been a trusted and recognized leader in the business of solar technology for over 20 years. Their high quality solar chargers, inverters, controllers, and power accessories offer a durable, dependable, and cost effective solution for mobile power needs where grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. An RV travel travel for us is all about being more comfortable while we travel and enjoy those campground accommodations. And like we said, sometimes we want to visit those more remote places and still use our RV.
It's opening up possibilities for us as RVers. There's a bluegrass festival I want to go to where we would have no hookups, but with the solar panels, we'll be able to use pretty much everything in the RV. And I also want to go to that place out on Montauk, Long Island, mm-hmm. that campground right on the beach that has no hookups there either. And we'll be all solar paneled up.
We will be. And so we've got our setup that we developed using what we, you know, our typical RV use. And we'll be sharing more details about that. The panels, the inverter, the batteries, they all arrived and they're currently being installed.
And I have to say, the solar panels are fairly sleek. They're not, some of us might have an outdated conception of what solar panels look like. They're not like these huge, bulky solar panels. They look pretty sweet.
All right. You can stay tuned for more of our solar story. And in the meantime, you can visit gpelectric.com to see lots of educational resources and get all the product information. Now, coming up on this show today, we are talking to Dan Ball from the Family Motor Coach Association.
Yeah, he's the director of membership and marketing. He's been there for 2.5 years. He's a great guy. And honestly, like a lot of times, Stephanie and I get people on the show that when the topic is just something we want to learn more about, because then we kind of assume you want to learn more about it. So FMCA recently had a historic vote. The Family Motor Coach Association now accepts towable owners as members. Now, RVFTA, our audience falls in line with most of the RV industry. About 90% of you are towable owners, and that's the way it is across the board in the country. So we really figured a lot of you might want to learn about the FMCA and decide if you want a membership. And I'm certainly very excited to learn more myself.
All right, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Dan Ball, the Director of Membership and Marketing for FMCA, and he's going to walk us through the history of the organization and tell us all the reasons why we might want to join the organization, even if we are travel trailer owners. But before we dive into all that great information, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today, when Jayco is building everything from camping trailers to Class A motorhomes. With a blend of old world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with standard features and the best 2-year limited warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, and now all of the Jayco travel trailer owners can join FMCA, and Dan is going to tell us all about that. So welcome to the show, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going? That's right. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. Well, we're really excited. You're working with an iconic name in the RV industry, and we really want to teach our listeners a whole lot more about FMCA. So
yeah,
why don't you get us started and tell us a little bit about the history? So FMCA has been around since 1963. Can you take us back to the beginning and just give us a little history on this iconic organization?
Absolutely. Yeah, like you said, 1963, that was the magic year for Family Motor Coach Association. Bob and Jean Richter, who hailed from Hanson, Massachusetts, they heard of a solar eclipse that was happening on July 20th. It was going to be able to be seen in Maine, and they thought, well, what a great idea to gather some friends and family and go out there and see it. At the time, RV or motor coach wasn't really in people's lexicon. They were called house cars. So they thought, well, let's go up, let's get our buddies who have house cars just like us, and let's go up and let's see this eclipse. They actually sent a letter to 11 different fellow owners and ended up with 26 coaches up in Hinckley, Maine on July 20th, 1963.
So many great ideas start with a road trip.
That's so much more grassroots than I expected to hear. I mean, and especially with the resonance with the recent solar eclipse that got so many people excited about going out to these remote locations in RVs. That's a really fun story.
Grassroots is such a great way to put it. So I think the Beatles came to America that year and FMCA was formed. And I might be wrong about the Beatles.
Are you sure about your dates?
So take us to the next step. I mean, how did it go from that sort of road trip with friends to becoming an organization?
Well, I mean, like a lot of great ideas and great starts, it just sort of spawned naturally. You know, these families met up in Maine. They watched the solar eclipse. They shared stories. They traded tips on how to maintain their house cars. And they kind of thought, you know, wouldn't it be a nice idea to have an organization dedicated to these house cars? So essentially, that's where it started. They kicked around some names and eventually settled on Family Motor Coach.
Now, what were some of the initial perks of membership? And then later in the interview, we'll talk about current perks of membership and see how aligned or disaligned they are. But what did you get out of an FMCA membership way back in the 60s?
Well, much like today, you got camaraderie, you got community, you got to share tips, you got to hear other people's tips, travel stories, good and bad. So it was just, you know, like I said, much like today, you got to have fun and talk and share memories and create memories with like-minded people at the time who called themselves house car owners. Fun fact, in 1963, dues were only $5 per year.
Sign me up at that price.
We have an anniversary rate maybe at some point in the future. Now, obviously,
you know if that gets you a gallon of gas anymore.
Yeah, just about, right? So now, obviously, at some point, this became sort of more of a large organization that is doing events and everything. Tell us about sort of some of the bigger changes at FMCA over the years. Like, how did you guys go through the decades and how did you grow through the years?
Well, it wasn't quick. You know, like any startup or any fledgling company, it was a lot of man hours and a lot of time and personal finances invested to get it off the ground. But, you know, the founders, they believed strongly in this organization and they saw, you know, its potential, a group of people who love the RV lifestyle coming together, offering, you know, different services to each other, you know, working as a group to find, you know, to harness that group buying power. And, you know, like anything, you try to evolve and you keep up with the emerging technological trends as best you can. And in my 2.5 years, that's been the biggest change even in that short amount of time, is just trying to keep up with those different digital and technological trends. I'm sure, you know, I'm no history buff, but in 1963, I can't imagine anybody ever thought that they would book a campground or read a magazine on their computer if they even knew what a computer was at that point.
So tell us about the organization now, and not so much the perks of membership. We'll get that into that in a second. But how is it organized regionally? What does the organization look like now geographically?
Yeah, so we're kind of unique in the sense that we are member-owned. We're a nonprofit member-owned organization focused on education and enhancing the RV lifestyle for our members. You know, we have an executive board that answers to a governing board, and the governing board is comprised of chapter leaders throughout the country. So these chapter leaders are representative of our members in all walks of life, all geographic regions, all interests, hobbies, you name it. So we've got 10 different areas that we have, you know, are broken down into. Each area has its own area vice president or AVP, as you may hear it referred to. And they sit on the executive board along with our president, vice president, treasurer, and national secretary. So, you know, it's a nice mix, a nice balance of people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, wherever they may live. You know, they come together and they're proud to represent their area and their constituents.
Well, now that sounds like it might be a little complicated, though, to make big changes in the FMCA, right?
It can be. You know, we have an executive director, and directors, you know, represent their various departments. And by and large, we make a lot of the day-to-day decisions. But, you know, any big votes or any big changes that need to be made, it is not a quick process. It has to go to the executive board, which goes to the governing board. And then, like I said, we're member-owned. So the people who are out there living the RV lifestyle, they get to make the decisions and choose the direction of the company, which is both unique, but also I think, you know, it helps them feel that sense of pride. They're not going to just do something that they feel will negatively affect the company. So it's unique, but it's fun and it's a good thing.
Keeps you rooted in tradition. But at the same time, you guys all just recently went through what is probably one of the biggest changes in history and had to go through that process for your organization. So you recently voted to allow towable RV owners to join the FMCA. So tell us kind of about how that, you know, movement started and how it kind of worked through the process of becoming the reality of the FMCA today.
Yeah, we want to be a fly on the wall. Yeah. Tell us about all the arguments and all the behind closed doors kind of action.
Well, I don't know. Some of them may not have been safe for work, so I'll just let you use your imagination there. But, you know, it was not a quick process. It's not something that happened overnight. It was actually about a year in the making. You know, if you wanted to get technical, it's probably more than that. That vote has been something that's been brought to the governing board on a couple of different occasions, and never passed, never shot down. So, but at the time, probably a year, year and a half ago, Charlie Adcock, who was the national president at the time, John Walker, who's now our president, was vice president at the time. And they, you know, kudos to them because they dedicated a lot and still do a lot of their time and energy to, you know, they're out there on the road, they're promoting FMCA, they're listening to members, non-members alike, and they kept hearing the same question. Why is FMCA coach owners only? You know, we all love the RV lifestyle. It's about the people. It's not about the equipment. So why can't I join? And that question, like I said, that came from both members and non-members. So they kind of, you know, they kind of looked into it, did their research, and said, okay, well, if we were going to make this change, what needs to happen? And like I said, we started probably about a year or more ago, did some research, did some digging, looked through our bylaws, our constitution, and realized, okay, these are the steps. This has to get passed by the executive board. This has to get passed by the governing board, and it has to go to a membership vote. So any existing members out there know that they've, you know, this was out in our magazine for 3 months for them to mail in their ballot. And, you know, like I had said previously, we're member-owned, and the members spoke. They overwhelmingly passed this by a wide margin.
So what was the vote, roughly? I'm just curious.
There was about 6,824 to 2,981 against.
Oh, that was a really strong vote in favor. So let me kind of ask you two questions here, because, I mean, this is fascinating to me, the politics of all this. So what would have been maybe the argument or one of the major arguments for people that were for bringing in towable owners, and what was maybe a major argument against bringing in towable owners? I'm just curious to be inside those rooms where people were having these conversations.
Yeah, great question. Well, I can tell you the two main points that we would hear for people for this vote was, hey, we're all out there. We love the RV lifestyle, and you may have heard it. Certainly our members have probably heard it. It's not about the equipment. It's about the people. So, you know, we just want to be out there. We want to meet like-minded RVers, and we want to share our stories, and we want to make new friends. Secondly, it does. You know, if you're looking at it from a business standpoint, this increases our buying power. It helps us to bring more people, more consumers to the table when
substantially,
we're
Dan, right? I mean,
benefit.
To be honest, substantially, about 90% of RV owners are towable owners. I mean, that is just a huge glaring fact, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's about 80-90%, like you said. So, yeah, I mean, it's significant how, you know, the doors that has opened up to us since the vote has passed.
Now, what kind of feedback have you gotten in the other direction in terms of concerns? Have there been people that have been concerned that sort of the tradition of this organization might be watered down and some of that, you know, that kind of links to the past 50 years or so?
Definitely. There's definitely those people who, you know, they joined because it was coach-centric, it was coach-specific, and that's what, you know, that's why they came here. They want to read about motor coach tips, tricks. They want to read about towing their vehicle with their motor coach, things of that nature. So they definitely, you know, they definitely had some concerns that the content that they've come to know and love might be watered down. But I can assure you, we have no intention of watering down any content ever on either side. So, and I should probably not use that term side because we're all in this together. So
that is fascinating, though, and that's actually really encouraging for me to hear. I mean, we're travel trailer owners, and I would love to become a member of FMCA, and we are planning on becoming members of FMCA. But that's a reasonable objection to me because members of your group, I love that you use the word content. People use the FMCA as a resource for education and content. So if I had been a motorhome owner for many years and I went to your magazine or your website because I wanted information on being a motorhome owner, I have to be honest, I would probably have the same concern because owning a travel trailer and owning a motorhome are very, very different things. So I'm actually kind of glad to hear that that was the major concern because it's reasonable in my mind. It's not like, oh, we don't want young people with little kids in travel trailers. It doesn't sound like that was the issue at all.
Well, first, I guess bigger concern for me is we've had this vote open for now 2.5 months and you guys still aren't members. What's up with that?
This is our first step in the process. See, we like education, so we're learning all about it. And then we are really actually quite excited that this is relevant to us now. We are really looking forward to becoming members.
Well, I was always jealous of those nice badges on the motorhomes. And I would always say, it's like I want to be part of the club. And
Dan just called us out.
He did call us out. And I've always wanted to get your magazine in my mailbox. So,
see, Dan doesn't know that this is how we work. We're like, okay, we want to learn about this. Let's get them on the podcast. And really, it's all just our own personal education. But, you know, let's kind of move to the age demographic issue because we haven't really addressed that at all. So part of the demographics of the RV industry is that, you know, towable owners tend to be younger than motorized owners, just as it plays out across the board. That's a budget issue. That's also the amount of travel that younger families can do. You know, there's all those different factors that play into this. How do you think that introducing that demographic, you know, that younger demographic is going to affect the FMCA?
Well, and I think first and foremost, I think we saw the vote pass by such a wide margin because a lot of our members did start out with towables and fifth wheels. So they recognize and understand that that's the entry point that a lot of people take. So they've been there. They can relate. So I think, again, that's why you saw the vote pass the way that it did. In terms of trying to attract, you know, that younger audience, it's something that we've talked about even before this vote, you know, kind of came to light or, you know, came on the table. You know, we always want to get, we want to get all backgrounds, all ages, all demographics. So trying to find new and exciting benefits that appeal to all age ranges, is really, in addition to keeping up with technological trends, is really one of the biggest challenges, I think, that we see. You know, everybody needs tires, whether you have a coach or a towable. Everybody wants to read content about the lifestyle. Everybody loves a good crockpot recipe. So, you know, I think by and large, we have benefits that most people can see and understand the value of. And we're continuing to add more every day.
And so it's a matter of adding towable content, not subtracting motorized content. I would imagine that that's the strategy because if you get more members, you can, you know, hypothetically have more pages in the magazine or more videos on your website or whatever it might be. I mean, is that kind of the approach you guys are going to take?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, we've been a coach organization for 50 some odd years. So You know, that's a niche that we know and understand, and that's a niche that we're not going to is going to get any less attention. And we're looking, trying to find new towable type content that we can add all the time. But, you know, again, we were a coach organization for 50 plus years. You know, now we're trying to learn this new segment. So it's just, again, it's not, nothing's going away. If anything, it's going to be more and better.
And we want to follow up with just one more sort of demographic focused question, which you may or may not really be able to answer at this early point in the transition. But, you know, rallies tend to be such a big part of the FMCA culture and history. And I know you guys do so much education at your rallies, too. I mean, we've had Walter Cannon on our show, and I know that he is there at your rallies, like doing seminars, and it really is a big part of the tradition. But, you know, the other side of things is that the younger segment of RVer is just not traditionally engaged with that sort of rally culture and going to different events and gathering up. Are you guys going to try to sort of, you know, kind of tackle that issue? And are you going to try to bring towable and younger people into your rally culture? Or are you just looking at maybe meeting them where they're at, aka Facebook?
Well, really, I think it's all of the above. You know, we have our two annual international or our two international conventions every year. Each area has its own rally. Generally, most chapters hold their own rallies. So those still exist for those who are interested in that. And of course, then for, you know, the younger demographic or those who can't necessarily make an event or something like that, we have, you know, social media platforms like Facebook and Our Village and Instagram, and anybody can hop on YouTube and see a video. So I think, like you said, you know, I think the younger demographic probably is not as interested in the traditional rally culture. But again, that's where we come in, and we're trying to provide things that they are interested in. And, you know, for example, our two hotspot offers through Verizon and Sprint. Everybody wants to be connected on the road. So I think certainly that speaks to a younger generation, but that certainly doesn't discredit the older generation who wants to be connected.
Like their Facebook, now, too. That's for sure.
Dan, I have to say, I would really encourage you guys to try and get younger families out to the rallies. I would love to go to an FMCA rally. But as a travel trailer owner in the past, I could not have gone to one. Well, I mean, I guess I could have gone to one, or could I have? As a travel trailer owner?
Travel trailers, they've always been, travel trailers, towables, fifth wheels, they've always been welcome at our events. I think that's, you know, that's, you kind of hit on a key perception that we've been fighting against. I think there is, you know, people didn't think they were welcomed. And if they did, sometimes they didn't always feel welcome. So that's a stigma that we've kind of been battling and you know, since I've been on. So, but I think if anybody who's been to an event recently or seen the emails and the various promotions we do, you know, there's a fresh energy coming out of the events department, and we're always trying to find new seminar hosts, entertainment, just doing different things that speak to different, you know, as many people as we can.
Now, we are going to give you the opportunity to sell us on an FMCA membership because you called us out of the carpet. You know we're not members yet. But in this next segment, all right, we're going to be back in a minute, and Dan is going to sell us. He's going to tell us all the reasons
every
why we
park.
Need.
We want to know every
We want to know
park.
It all. We want to be signing up by the end of this episode. All right, everybody, stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be back here with Dan Ball from FMCA. And now he's going to tell us about all the perks of joining FMCA, whether you're a motorized owner or a towable owner. But first, we have a sponsored message for Thetford, and you can use their products in towable or motorized, that's for sure.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. It seems like a ways away, but any day now, a lot of you will be taking the cover off that RV and getting that baby shined up for the camping season. Thetford has products that were made specifically for RVs, so you know that they are safe and effective. Two products that we have on hand ready to go are the wash and wax and the awning cleaner from Thetford. You can go to Thetford.com and see a complete lineup of cleaners and black streak and bug removers and all that good stuff.
They got something for everything.
Something for everything.
And when you get the awning cleaner, get the one with that foaming thing.
Yeah.
It says on it that it's foaming.
Foaming.
Yeah, I just think that's a good product.
You like that foaming?
I like to watch it foam.
All right.
All right, Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here. This is fun.
No, this is great. Now, let's just lay this out right away. How much does it cost to join FMCA for a year?
It is only $60 for 1 year. And if you intend to be in the RV lifestyle for many years, which I can't imagine why you wouldn't, we do have multi-year discounts available as well.
Now, Dan, I hear that you're really interested in getting an RV. Is this true or just a rumor that's echoing around FMCA headquarters?
Well, that's true. I love to camp. I love to hike. Love to be outdoors, weather permitting. With two kids and house payments, it doesn't always fit into the budget, but I've always got my eye out.
All right, Dan, I'm going to tell you a little story right now. We just got our whole website redesigned, all right? And I was working with this guy. He was so good, awesome, doing everything. Guess what? After working on my website for about 4 to 5 months, he just bought a pop-up camper. So
used pop-up camper.
You need to dive into the world of RVFTA. You need to go into that pop-up content. We're persuasive.
I think you're right.
Get a used pop-up camper, $1,000 or $2,000. Okay, let's not veer too much off topic.
Right. Well, now we're off topic.
I'm sold.
So Dan, tell us what you get for that $60 a year. Let's walk through all the various perks.
Yeah. So $60 a year. How much time you got? So
no, really, hit us everything.
First and foremost, you know, we get the question a lot, especially with the vote, when the vote was out there, you know, what is stopping this vote if it passes from you being another Good Sam? Well, first and foremost, we don't look at it like that. We're a nonprofit, member-owned organization, and our main purpose is out there to promote the RV lifestyle and advocate for RVers and be the education source. So I'm not going to go any further for fear of saying
no, but actually that's a really great distinction, because what you're saying is that you guys don't have to be profit driven with your decisions.
Exactly. So we are in it for the members, and that's, again, don't read too much into that. I'm not implying anybody else is not, but you know, for $60 a year, you get access to all sorts of educational content. We have a magazine. We have our forums. We have our social media platforms. We have events with seminars. We actually are in the works right now of putting together an online university that's going to be awesome. I'm excited. I've probably said too much already, but that's going to be amazing.
And that would be, you would access that for free with membership, or that would be additional cost, or you guys haven't figured that out yet?
That will come entirely free with your membership dues, so no extra cost there to learn all you could ever imagine about RVs.
Now, I got to ask you about the magazine, because over the years, I know that it is sort of an iconic magazine in the RV industry, and not everybody sees it, because if you're not a member, you don't get it. But that magazine's a big part of the lifeblood of what you do. So could you tell us a little bit more about the magazine, and how many times a year does it come out, and what types of content is in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we put out an issue every month. So a 1 year subscription. If you have your dues paid for a year, you get a year's worth of magazines, and it's got everything from tech talk to featured products that might be perfect for your RV, how to maintain your tires, how to check and make sure your battery's where it needs to be. It's got everything. It's got, you know, it has contents. We have decades of experience. So it's got everything that you could probably imagine that you would need to know, not only while you're on your journey, before your journey, after your journey. And again, it's only going to get bigger and better. It's not, the current content's not going to get watered down.
Now, Jeremy's always really concerned with things like magazines, but other folks are concerned with things like saving money. And I know that part of what the FMCA does is kind of negotiate discounts for certain products on behalf of its members. Could you give us a rundown of some of those discounts that people have access to if they have a membership?
Absolutely. So I'll give you, you know, this is just a top five, but we've got more than this. But, you know, obviously the magazine we've talked about. We have our FMCA Assist Medical Evacuation Program, which is also included with your dues. There's no extra cost with that. We have our tire savings program through Michelin and Continental. And I'm not blowing smoke when I say you could save hundreds, which would more than cover the cost of your dues, depending on the tire that you need. And that goes for both coach owners and towable owners as well. So we have our two mobile hotspot programs that we've recently released back in November. It's a jetpack that you can take with you to connect anywhere, anytime. One is through Sprint, and the other is powered on the Verizon and Sprint. And then, of course, we have our roadside assistance program, which we just unveiled a new price back in November as well for only $69 a year. And you can lock that in for 3 years. So you can't beat that.
Somebody on our Facebook group, in our private Facebook group, was just asking about roadside assistance.
Well, so now we'll know what to say.
Now we'll have another option to talk about.
I imagine that some people do join just because they know there's that one thing they love about it. I mean, some people might want the monthly magazine. Some people might say, well, I know I'm going to get my tires. Does it tend to work that way?
Absolutely. You know, people join and they join us for all reasons. You know, they see the tire discount. They understand the value of the magazine. They want to go to events. Some of them work on the road, so they need that internet connectivity. That others love the educational part of it. So, you know, like I said, we try and add new benefits all the time that have the broadest appeal as possible. So, you know.
Dan, I know go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you're living the RV lifestyle, I feel pretty confident when I say that we have something for you.
I know we mentioned events in the previous, just briefly in the previous segment, but I'd like to give our listeners a little more of an idea. I mean, we've never been to an FMCA rally, and I'm sure your larger ones may look different than the smaller regional ones, but can you kind of try to paint a picture of what one of these events looks like? You know, why people go, what they do while they're there?
Yeah, absolutely. We like to say that our events are every reason you joined the RV lifestyle wrapped into one fun, easy package. So basically, at an event, you can camp, you can meet new people, you can learn different things at seminars, you can be entertained with the evening entertainment, you can see the latest trends through the exhibitors. You know, like I said, like most things we do, it has something for everyone. It's the RV lifestyle wrapped in a pretty little package.
When is the big annual? Upcoming rally? Just to give people an idea of where they are and what time of year.
We are very close, actually, to our first one of this year. It'll be held in Perry, Georgia, on March 15th through the 18th. So about 3 weeks away. We are in full Perry mode over here.
And then what will come next?
Then we have our summer one in Gillette, Wyoming. I do not have those dates in front of me, but you can go to FMCA.com and see them there.
And how many, like how big are those events? How many campers will be there?
Right now we're looking at about anywhere from, you know, we're adding more every day. We're looking at probably about 2,700 campers. Just in Perry, and that doesn't include, you know, foot traffic from the local community, we're just south of Atlanta and Perry, so obviously a large market that we expect will come down and want to see the latest and greatest trends and the high flying class A's that everybody wants to walk through. So
so there are RVs there to walk through. There are a lot of vendors there in the industry. So in a sense, it feels a little like an RV show.
That's what I was thinking. It's almost like some of the benefits of an RV show with none of the buying pressure. You're actually camping there.
Exactly. It's an RV expo. It's got displays. It's got exhibitors. It's got everything you could imagine that might even loosely be related to an RV.
And then there's a lot of seminars, a lot of education, Stephanie mentioned Walter Cannon. We know that you guys do get the best names in the industry to come and speak. So I guess there would be a lot of seminars to check out as well.
Absolutely, and I would probably get in trouble if I didn't mention our RV Basics class. This will be the third one that we've done now, and we're really excited. We actually sold out. We have no seats left for Perry. So if you want a two-day course from the experts of Gary Bunzer, the RV doctor, sign up for RV Basics in Gillette, Wyoming, because it is well worth it.
Oh, fantastic. So I'm pretty sure that when we get off this call with you, Jeremy's going to become a member of the FMCA.
Done. It's done.
You did your job, Dan.
All right. Hey, sounds good.
No, I mean, I think that at the core of the issue here is what you're communicating is that, you know, there's universals about the RV experience, things that people that get into RVing really appreciate and enjoy. And you guys are trying to provide a really nice, friendly organization that kind of enhances that experience for everybody in the RV lifestyle. So we're happy that towable owners are now included because they're a really large percentage of our listening audience, just like they are a large percentage
90%.
Of the buying audience. Yeah.
So, Dan, tell us one last time where everyone should go. Give us the website and whatever the social media addresses are so people can go and find out more on their own and sign up on their own.
Sure. www.fmca.com. It'll show you all our benefits. It'll show you everything you could want to know about events, our magazine. It's got all our social media platforms on there. www.fmca.com. And let me just say, you guys did your job too, because as soon as I get off the clock here, I'm going to get a pop-up.
Yes.
Love it.
Nothing better.
We will hold you to that.
Yeah, we want to see pictures. Pixar didn't happen. Now, I know that also the FMCA does have a private Facebook group that people can join. We have it linked to our private Facebook group just for some cross promotion to bring some towable owners over your way and to start reaping the benefits of that FMCA organization.
All right, everybody. That was Dan Ball, the Director of Membership and Marketing for the FMCA. Dan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun, like I said.
Hopefully we'll meet you in Cincinnati.
Yes, anytime.
Right. You're going to take us out to dinner in the Over the Rhine neighborhood, right?
Yeah, you're making plans for Dan here. All right, Dan, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a big thank you to Dan Ball from the FMCA, and I'm going to go get my membership tonight. I don't know about you. It sounds like it's worth it to me. And like I said, I think sometimes it's just that one thing that makes you want the membership, and if I can get tire discounts on Michelin tires and a magazine subscription, done. That's worth $60.
You're good.
It's worth $60 for me. So now it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our wild and crazy friends over at Outdoorsy.
Yeah, if you're not following them on Instagram, you should be, right? They're running a pretty good Instagram account over
there. They kind of get me all excited to travel. I said this on one of the recent episodes. I spent a lot of time surfing on their website. I think it's so much fun to go to Outdoorsy and just type in random cities and see what RVs are for rent. Love it. So much better than watching the news at night.
That's quite a hobby. All right. Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they're making it easy to make some money renting out your RV. And now you can rent through Outdoorsy in the United States and in Canada. Now, if you're one of those people who crunches the numbers on an RV purchase, and we know we have a lot of listeners out there that are, if you're trying to figure out if you're really going to get your money's worth from an RV purchase, this is a really great option to think about.
Let me put it this way. Say you have a travel trailer and your payment is, say, $150 a month or something. I'm just throwing out a number. You could rent it one weekend a month and easily make your payment.
Or just a few times over the course of the summer or whenever it is that you can't travel, right? You want to think about this. You're really into RVs. You love camping, but you're like, oh, we're only going to use the rig this many weeks out of the year. We have listeners who actually pay their entire RV payment through renting their Outdoors
Inc. We have listeners who do that and then make a profit on top of it. And we have podcast listeners who have then bought another RV just for renting.
Right. So look into renting on Outdoorsy. This option could definitely transform the economics of RVing for you. So go to outdoorsy.com/list/your/RV for more info today.
Yeah, and I think we're going to rent one this summer for some kind of a crazy fun trip.
And we're going to rent ours out. We're all into this. So yeah, we think
Penny, we're cleaning Penny up.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for the RVFTA News Roundup. So, Stephanie, what's going on in our world? What's happening on Campground of the Week lately?
Over on Campground of the Week, Kate Dunbar has a campground smackdown for us. She's got two campgrounds, Texas campgrounds. She's pitting them against each other. She loves them both, but she's going to let you decide which one is right for
you. And Kate's tough. I mean, she will smack down and say, like, this one's better than the other one.
Well, yeah, we'll see. You got to go over and listen. Now, also remember that Mark Polk was on our podcast a few episodes back about his RV online training courses. They offered our listeners a 20% discount on all their courses. You can find the link to get there in the show notes at rvfta.com. And then if you click through and you put in the code RVFTA, you'll get a 20% off discount. That's a great deal.
I love that coupon code. I try to use that every time I shop. I always just punch in RVFTA.
No matter where you are.
You never know. And yeah, that's a great 20% off discount. Mark Polk, RV Education 101, one of the best sources for RV safety in the entire industry.
All right. You can also leave campground reviews over at rvfta.com. Go to the campground reviews tab. You register to use our site, and then you can leave a recommendation for any campground out there that you think would be a great fit for the RVFTA community, right? It's caring, it's sharing.
It pins it on the map, so you can go to your state or your region and see if anyone has pinned recommended campgrounds near you. And we're definitely building up a nice list over there, so please chip in.
All right. You can also join our friendly RVFTA community over in our Facebook group. You just ask to join the group. You have to answer three simple questions, and it's basically so that we know that you're, you know, not somebody spamming us from
And anyone can join, but you only get to stay if you're nice.
Yeah.
And seriously, if you're not nice.
Most people are
we
nice.
We hit that red button.
Most of you listeners
it,
are
it
nice,
happens very know. Rarely, but we do it. We do eject people from the group. We really try to keep a friendly tone.
All right. We want to thank our sponsor, Cabela's. They have everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp in comfort. From the Coleman lanterns that Jeremy's been messing around with to the cast iron that he is obsessed with cooking in these days, Cabela's will feed whatever outdoor gear kick you are on at the moment. And believe me, I know this.
Portable toilets? I mean, if that's your thing, head to Cabela's.
Check out Cabela's full line of affordable outdoor gear at Cabela's.com. It's in your nature.
You know where I see a lot of guys like my age hanging out at Cabela's?
Where?
The generators. You always see guys like sidling up to the generators, you know, thinking about that generator purchase. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving us a nice review over on iTunes. It makes us very, very happy. And thank you for your download. We appreciate every single one of them. And we hope to see you all at the campground.
See you at the campground.